This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us. It's hour number two. Talking about game two of the NBA Finals last night. A rout by Golden State. They did it in the third quarter, and then they cruised from there. A 19-point victory that really wasn't even that close. But they've evened up the series at a game apiece as we head to Boston for game three on Wednesday night. We'll have that for you coming up in this hour. But you know what's going on right now? There are two things that are going on in the collegiate sports arena that I actually was pretty fascinated with. And I've been really fascinated with one, and I'm starting to become more of a fan in the other. And that is the College Softball World Series is going on right now in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma is the number one team in the nation. I think we talked about this last week in one of the Good, the Bad, and the Dumb segments, which is, by the way, coming up. That Oklahoma may be the team of the year in terms of how dominant they are in their particular sport. They're going to play UCLA today. The Bruins need to win twice against a team that's lost like three games all year in order to advance to the championship series. So it is very likely that Oklahoma, the defending national champs, have been number one all season, and the dominating team of college softball will be playing it for another national championship starting on Wednesday in a best-of-three series. But the crowds have been amazing, absolutely amazing. Over 12,000 people are seeing these games in Oklahoma City, and is a real testament to not only the fan bases of the teams that are in this, but fans in general, especially the Oklahoma and Oklahoma State Cowgirls in that field. And the other is the college baseball NCAA tournament. As I was watching Golden State just throttle Boston, I switched it over to watch the Tennessee-Georgia Tech game. Now, Tennessee's been the number one baseball team all season long, and of course, we get a lot of attention for them here in Nashville, where I live, and so I went, you know what, they're trailing 4-3. Let's see it in the ninth inning. They were the visiting team in the tournament, even though they were playing in the Knoxville Regional. They went to the top of the ninth, and they put up six runs to go on to eliminate Georgia Tech and win the Knoxville Regional. I'm telling you right now, that team is as loaded a college baseball team as they're in the country. Again, being number one. I'm making a prediction. I think they're going to win it all. They've got some good teams. There's Stanford that's a very good team. Texas A&M is a good team. Texas is a pretty good team. There's a number of good teams out there around the country. But Tennessee is just not going to get beaten twice by anybody. And I think they're going to end up winning the national championship. But two good games going on. Two good sports that are continuing in their championships. Softball and baseball on the collegiate level. Good, the bad, and the dumb next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, Cook, the Bad, and the Dumb from the weekend. You know what? There's a lot to choose from. We sort it all out, or at least Ron sorts it all out. So let's get started. The good of the day for your Monday.
Well, I thought about doing the obvious for the good, but I said, you know, we'll probably touch on Nadal later on.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more to be said there than in the, you know, few minutes that we give each of these topics. So I decided to go with a bittersweet good of the day.
Yep.
And that was that Wales qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 64 years.
Now, this bothers me because that should be celebrated, but because they beat Ukraine, everyone's like, oh, that stinks.
I know. I'm excited. Sorry. I'm excited because I think Wales is a much better matchup for the U.S. than Ukraine.
Right. I've heard that over the weekend. I got to tell you, I think it's fine that Wales won.
So
all's fair in love and sports. I know we have sentimental favorites that we root for. I get it. Don't get me wrong. We do it in every sport. But the reality of it is, it's not like they were going up. It's not like Ukraine was playing a country that goes there all the time and just said they're yeah. just as starved for
you can say this Ukraine made it farther than Italy this year.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm sorry that the run ends for Ukraine, but the reality of it is that I can't help but be excited for Wales. That's like
it is, and it does.
It's not like Red Sox or Cubs territory, but it's a long, long, long time.
Yeah, but it also sets up an interesting matchup. I don't know what day it is. I don't know if it's day one, two, or three of the group play, but Wales taking on England in the World Cup is going to be fascinating.
Yeah,
Because, I mean, you know, they're neighbors.
Have we ever had a World Cup, and you would know this more than me, have we ever had a World Cup that starts this late on the calendar? Like I saw dates like November 24th.
No, it's usually held during the summertime.
Yeah.
The World Cup should be going on right now. We should be having soccer on our screen and talking about the different matchups right now. It would have been great to help us, you know, get through the dog days of summer, as if you would. Having the World Cup, I mean, for us in America, having the World Cup dead smack in the middle of football season is going to be rough.
Yeah, it is going to be rough for the kind of attention that you'd want to get in this country. And I know the rest of the world doesn't care.
And it's all based on a lie. Remember that. It was all based on a lie because Qatar came forward and said, hey, listen, we can have the World Cup in the summertime. We're going to build air-conditioned stadiums. And when I say that, I mean the floor, the playing surface will be air-conditioned. And then, you know, couple years into it, you know, where there was like no hope of them losing it, there was like, you know what, we can't do that. That technology doesn't exist. We need to move it to the fall, which made all the professional leagues, especially in Europe, upset because that's in the middle of their season.
I know believe me, save the Twitter. I know I'm barking up a wrong tree because I know that money makes the world go around. But wouldn't it be nice if some of these leagues, some of these sports just goes, you know what? Sorry. No matter how much you bribe us, no matter how much suitcase full of cash you're giving all of our executives, we're not doing it in November. So we're going with countries that can have it in the summertime. That's what we're doing. We're not disrupting the sports world. Sorry. Take your money under the table and take it back. They won't do that, of course. I get it. But for the love of Pete, it's like everything had to be altered because these guys just loved that suitcase full of cash.
I mean, it's pretty much been determined that, you know, Russia winning the World Cup, what was that, I guess 4 years ago now?
Yep.
And Qatar winning, I mean, not 4 years ago, it was like 8 or 12 years ago when it was announced, that all stemmed from bribery.
All of it.
All of it stemmed from bribery.
They couldn't help themselves.
They all got paid, yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't help themselves. And, you know.
And Qatar has been a disaster from the get-go.
I know.
How they still have it, I don't know. It's just probably because they're like, well, it was part of, I believe his name was Sepp Blatter, who was the old FIFA commissioner or FIFA president or whatever you want to call it, dictator. It was part of his grand plan, not only receiving a briefcase full of cash, but also, you know, being the first one to say, hey, I was able to bring a World Cup to every corner of the world.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's my legacy.
And, you know, and then, you know, like you have real sports going over there and they're like, wow, it's practically slave labor they're building. And nobody did anything about that either. Like every awful report that was coming from that country and building these stadiums, it went in one ear and out the other. And now we're going to be celebrating it in November with that country, and you know, everybody that probably shouldn't win in this whole deal won in this whole deal, except the people that got caught on the bribery, I guess. But still,
I know I'm
barking up a wrong tree, but you know, I would love for somebody to go, no, we're done. No, we can't do that. Sorry, thanks for the money, but you got to take it back because we can't do that. But of course, they won't. So. All right, but I'm looking forward to it. I am really excited. I'm excited about the U.S. I will find room in my busy fall calendar for this.
And that's the issue that I have is that I guarantee that we'll be talking about three games. You know, at least three games. And that'd be the games for the U.S., but that's the beauty of the World Cup. Right now, if it was going on right now, you know, there's a lot of interesting matchups that you can dive into.
Sure.
But because our calendar is full in November, just speaking of the United States, our calendar is full. We, you know, it's going to be hard to fit in the three games for the U.S.
Yeah, I agree. And it depends, like, if you are SportsCenter, this show, a number of other shows, where do you put it in a calendar that's filled with things that are top of the food chain? Right. I mean, that's SportsCenter is going to do their coverage. But do they have time to give you highlights from every World Cup in the fall with college football and college and the NFL and all of that? Do they? I don't know. They'll try to find room because I know they're invested in it. But it's not easy. It's not definitely not like it is in July and June and July when you're like, holy cow, great. Yes, let's not only break down, let's do extended highlights of these things.
Yeah, now I will say this. They did get one group, or the U.S. does have a favorable fixture for U.S. viewing. because their first game is on a Monday, November 21st, you know, the week of Thanksgiving. So I don't think there's going to be much going on Monday during the afternoon. But they play England on Black Friday.
Oh, that's going to be great.
There's nothing going on Black Friday, right?
Right, I know.
And yes. We're all going to be off. Got to find a bar to celebrate that one.
Yeah. So
should be interesting.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
Sticking with the soccer team, or the soccer theme, I should say. Canada men's national team decided now would be the time that they should go on strike.
Okay, why are they going on strike?
They qualified for the World Cup as the number one overall seed coming out of our region and said, you know what, we need to get paid as a World Cup team. They haven't made the World Cup in years. This is the first time in like 38 years, for nearly 40 years, that they've made the World Cup. So that now that they're in the World Cup, they want a bigger piece of the prize.
Why wouldn't they get it?
Obviously, right? But because they're going on strike now, they're already canceling World Cup tune-up matches. They canceled one on Sunday.
Why didn't anybody anticipate this in the negotiations to say, and by the way, if in the unlikelihood we make the World Cup, this is what we want?
Yeah.
Why didn't anybody have the foresight to put that in their contract?
That makes a lot of sense, right? I agree. I mean, they were...
Like, you pay us this amount of money, but if we make the World Cup, we get X.
Within our region... They were the top overall seed. They never once were second or third. They led the entire way through, you know, from pole to finish. And it just feels like to me, like, you would probably see the writing on the wall. Now, what they're asking for is 40% of the revenue because Canada stands to make like $10 to $15 million.
Is that unreasonable?
I don't think it is, but a lot of people are pointing this as, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? The U.S. just kind of cut a deal with their men's and women's national team, so Canada needs to do the same.
Yeah.
Because U.S. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's a great timing. I guess it's good timing to do it because it holds their feet, the Canada national team's feet to the fire because they finally have representation in the World Cup for the first time in 40 years. I just don't like the idea for the players. This is your opportunity to kind of get used to one another, to warm up with one another. That way you have a chance in the World Cup instead of, you know, my fear is that you're going to get blown out three straight games.
Yeah. Well, I think they're like, still, I want my money. Like, even if I get blown out in three straight games, I still want my money. So that's too bad. I have noticed that there's a lot, it seems like there's a lot of Canadians on social media who like to tell America how much better Canada is all the time.
Yep.
And yet, do we have Americans that do that? Or do we, because...
Well, we have Americans always talk about how great America is. No, but do they directly
tell Canada how much, like, out of nowhere? Like, no. A Canadian will tweet, here in Canada, we do this, this, and this, unlike you Americans, like, it just comes out of nowhere. Where I don't think Americans have ever gone... Just sitting here thinking about how great America is, unlike Canada, who does this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And I think it's because Jon Stewart, his joke about Canada is apropos. He tells a story about a Canadian, he was going to Canada, and a Canadian border guard said, you know, well, Americans, blah, 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 what do you think of Canada? And Jon Stewart said, we don't. And right. I think that's true. We just don't. Like, I'm glad that you look down at us in this country and find things to nitpick and tell us how much better you are. We're not reciprocating because we don't even think of you at all.
It's like Robin Williams' joke, similar joke about that. Maybe that's where they get offended because that joke gets kind of replayed or retold every once in a while. And he called Canada. It's like Canada's that loft above a really great party.
Right. And I love Canada. I've every time I've gone to Canada, I've enjoyed my time there. But it's kind of true. We're not in a war of ideas with Canada.
No.
Because we don't think of them at all. Does that make sense?
That's 100%.
Yeah. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, sticking with Canada. See what I did there?
I like it.
Soccer, Canada.
Right.
The RBC Canadian Open will be offering Skyline seats.
Skyline seats, what is that?
That will be a floating bar for roughly 18 people suspended 100 feet above the first and 18th holes.
On a gondola type of thing, or is it crane. Like a crane? Oh, yuck. I don't know if I like that.
So, I mean, two things came to mind. One, I mean, you're strapped in above the first and 18th hole. I don't
right.
know if that's, like, even good viewing, looking down.
Are you looking down through, like, a glass floor while you drink your cocktails?
Maybe you're just off to the side. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But my thing was, because you'd go up for 30 minutes. Who knows how much that's going to cost for a 30-minute seat. But what if you have to use the restroom?
Yeah. If you're up there in that box.
You're up there. I mean, it's not even a box. It's open air.
It's an open air thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
I mean, just picture like a gigantic platform.
They probably say, listen, if you got to go, go now. Because you're going up there. We're not bringing this back down.
I know, but see, here's the issue. You're at a bar.
Yeah, but you're only up there for 30 minutes.
I know, but if you're drinking beforehand to kind of get
that's
the
what I just said. You got
to
go before.
True.
They're telling you go before you go up there.
And then what happens once you break the seal? You got to go every 5 minutes.
Right, that's true.
At least if you're 40 plus.
I don't know, man. I don't like suspended by a crane.
Is it a good view from there?
Depends on the angle. Depends on the angle of where you're at. If they're putting you off to the side, because they probably don't want to, they're not hovering you over the green. That would be a problem. But
what if it cast a weird shadow?
Yeah, right.
Messing the golfer. Now, exactly. If you're a golfer and either you're completely out of it or you have a substantial lead, would you just say
try to hit a ball up there?
Forget it. Let me chip one up there and see what happens.
How far up? How up are they?
100 feet.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
Could throw a pitching wedge up there, I think.
You're just off the green, and you're like, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
See if I can make it in that guy's cup. And then he has to chug it like they do at baseball stadiums.
Yeah, exactly. What if you throw one up there, and then you have to hit one from there? You go, oh, we got to bring it down. He's got to hit one. Play it where it lies. Drift it back up again.
Maybe there's like a separate crane that takes you up.
What are you doing? I saw this at the Formula One race in Miami. They had a gondolas over the track where people could hang out and look down. Why are we wanting to put people in suspended things to watch sporting events? That's silly.
You know, it's hey, how can we fix something that's not broken?
I know, right?
Let's add this or let's add that. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess.
I don't know. Maybe 20-something-year-old me would be like, oh, that's a cool thing.
Maybe so.
World.
You might be right. When I was younger, I might have been like, I'm all in.
Put me up there, man. I'll be up there all day long. I'll work the bar.
Yeah, that's true. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb for your Monday as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Glad you could be with us as we continue along this morning. The Angels lost their 11th in a row last night. I am devastated by this. I'm not an Angels fan. I don't root for them. But I am rooting for them to make the playoffs. What the hell is happening to this baseball team? They've lost 11 in a row. They have lost 15 of their last 18 games. They lost last night on a 3-run walk-off home run by the Phillies. Swept by the Phillies, swept by the Yankees, swept by the Blue Jays. Split their series with the Texas Rangers. Won 2 out of 3 against the A's and then was swept by Texas before that. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm bothered by this, but I'm bothered by this. Talk me off a ledge. That's it, right? They're done, right? They're done. They had a moment where they were a decent baseball team at the beginning of the year, so much so we went, oh, good, they're finally going to make the playoffs. We'll get to see Mike Trout in October baseball, Shohei Ohtani. They're expanding the playoffs, expanding the playoff field. Wow, they're on a roll now. They're learning to win. No, they're not. They're not learning to win. And here it is. It's June. A lot of baseball left, but they're toast, right? They're toast.
I wish I could blow warm fuzzies towards you.
Right?
And give you hope. But I don't get it. I don't get this team at all.
They went from first place to 8.5 games back of the Astros in a split second.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't do that because you're not going to catch the Astros now. The Astros are too good of a team.
Oh, and by the way, Mike Trout's not hitting the baseball at all. At all. He was on an 0-for-23 streak at one point.
I honestly believe, and I don't want to use this lightly or try. I do really believe that this team is cursed.
I do too.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the curse of Art Moreno or whatever he did to acquire the team originally. Whoever he bought the team from, the devil, was like, you can own it, but you're not going to have any success, and people will hate you.
Like, even Shohei Ohtani's struggling a little bit.
Yeah, you can't pitch anymore.
Right? Like, all of a sudden, like, everything that was going right for this team, or the things that you would think were going right for this team, have just completely derailed them. And, oh, by the way, the Yankees are fantastic. Yankees are amazing.
Do we like that as a country? Games. I mean, outside of New York, outside of the, you know.
No.
We don't like it as a country, right?
No, you're either a Yankee fan or you hate them. I've never met an indifferent Yankee fan. I've never met somebody indifferent to the Yankees who likes baseball. Like, you either love them or you hate them. But I've never met anybody who goes like, yeah, Yankees, I could take or leave them. That's fine. If they win, that's great. If they lose, I don't care. I root for the Twins. No, that's not the case. The Yankees are 39-15. They have a 7.5 game lead over the Blue Jays, who were projected at the beginning of the year to go to the World Series and win it. That doesn't mean they still can't. Still got a lot of baseball left. No problem. But the Blue Jays, who are 9 games above 500, are 7.5 back of the Yankees. The Yankees are magnificent. And the Angels stink, and I'm crushed by it. You know what else is a good baseball team? The Mets. Man, we're almost at the All-Star break, by the way. We're like, a month away from the All-Star break? That's the thing with baseball. Doesn't it feel like in a blink of an eye, you're like, oh, we've got 60 games in. Like, one day you wake up, like, one day...
Are we really already 60 games in?
Close.
Man, God. Yeah, that goes by fast.
Like, the Mets are 37-19. That's 56 games.
Yeah.
We're close to 60 games in. So, yeah, if like one day the season starts, and in a blink of an eye, you've gotten 50, 60 games under the
belt. We're almost halfway there.
Yeah, and there's a period of time. It's like in any sport. Every sport's the same. Even the NFL that has 17 games. You don't get too worried when things aren't going your way early. It's a long season. Baseball, it's like the first 2 months. Maybe the first 6 weeks where you start seeing a little bit. Then there's a moment in the summer, maybe at the beginning of the summer, where you start going, okay, this is who they are, right? The Cubs are not a very good team. The Cincinnati Reds are awful. The Rockies are terrible. Like, the Mets are good. Milwaukee is good. And now the reasonable expectations that you have for these teams are now... Okay, now you got to do something with it. Like, hey, Yankees, you're 39-15. Now do something with that. This isn't a fluke. This isn't an easy portion of the schedule. You've gone through 60 games, close to 60 games. You've shown that you can hit, you can score, you've got good pitching, you win at home, all of those things. Now that's something you got to deal with. You got to take with you to the very end. Same thing with Toronto. Toronto, you're in second place in the division, but now you've shown that you're a decent team. Do something with that. Detroit, you're struggling. Kansas City, you're struggling. Chicago, you're middle of the pack. Now you're starting to see who these teams really are. You're not going to be Seattle 6 games below 500 and be the top team in the American League. You're not going to do that. Doesn't mean you can't climb out of the hole you're in and make a run at a wild card. Of course you can. I saw it firsthand in 2007 with the Rockies. They were 14 games out with like 15 to play. And then somehow they made it to a one-game playoff with the Padres. It was an unbelievable run to close out the season. But you now kind of get a feeling for the identity of these teams now. And the Yankees are magnificent. And boy, oh boy, the Angels are sliding and sliding fast. Sliding very quickly. And it's kind of too bad. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Good Monday today. We'll get more into the NBA Finals as we continue.
Wake Wake-Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Robert on Twitter, Canadian trivia. You ready for some Canadian trivia, Ron?
Always.
Going to Windsor, Ontario from Detroit, you drive southward. All right, you know what? That proves a point that I didn't even consider.
So wait, when Detroit's we say we're north?
Yeah, it's north of Windsor, Canada. So when we say look up at Canada, people in Detroit look down, I guess, at Canada because they're south. Does that?
I see what you did there.
I see what I did there. Yeah, ha ha ha! Very good.
So you just gave something Detroit doesn't really have, and that's a one up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's almost like the Canada of the United States.
I've never been to Vancouver or Winnipeg or Edmonton. Those are only two places I've ever been to. I've been to Quebec and I've been to Montreal. Those are the only two places I've been in Canada.
I've driven through Windsor.
I
took that, but I didn't realize that when I left Detroit, I was heading south towards Windsor.
There you go. Now you know.
Yeah,
now
you know what that reminds me of? That's one of those weird things that, you know, it's hard to believe until you see it on the map. Like, you know, when you see that Reno is further west than L.A.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then you look at, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
And then you look at a map and go, well, yeah, you know what? Reno is further west than L.A. Yeah.
Thank you, Robert, for the Canadian trivia. Really appreciate that. So this morning, and I checked this. I read Peter King on Pro Football Talk. He writes a column every Monday. I like his stuff. I like Peter King. And during the offseason, he's always got some good nuggets of information. So during the regular season of the NFL, you know, he has to write about the games and the news and when it's really hot and what things are going on. And then during the offseason around this time, you got a couple of OTAs going on. You got some news, Deshaun Watson, of course, and little things like that. Russell Wilson's contract extension, possibly with the Broncos. You know, they're reportedly 5 years, $250 million. But mostly he'll take like larger things and say, okay, I'm going to write a column on this big, big topic. And today he wrote, he wrote the 22 most influential people in the NFL today. And some of these are pretty predictable, but I thought that a couple of them were really, really interesting. So normally if I were to give you 10 up, and I'm not going to do all 22, but if I were to do the top 10, I would go 10 all the way to 1, but I'm going to go 1 all the way down. So 1 is obvious. It's Roger Goodell. So he puts Roger Goodell as number 1, NFL commissioner, et cetera, et cetera. He's been 16 years on the job. Think of all the things he's been able to do, the value of this franchises, getting the 17 games, right? Dealing with all the controversy. He's 63 years old. Done a very good job as commissioner. But number 2 on his list, in terms of influential coming into this season, number 2, get this, Ron, is Deshaun Watson. And the reason that he puts that in there, and I thought this was interesting, is because this 5-year, $230 million contract is something you and I talked about. It now sets a bar that some teams may not be able to work out with their superstar quarterbacks. We're already hearing about the Broncos and a Russell Wilson deal. Now, there's been rumors back and forth about his camp wants it. Then some reports have said, no, he never asked for it. We're talking 5 years, $250. That would mean $50 million a season, guaranteed, fully guaranteed. This is what Jimmy Haslam has done. Jimmy Haslam, by signing Deshaun Watson to this contract, even with all of the controversy, has now made it that if you have a superstar quarterback like Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, anybody else, any young player that is coming up in the ranks, this is the bar now. Like, if I'm Joe Burrow, I go nowhere near $45 million. I go much higher than 50. Justin Herbert, the same thing. If this is the game we're playing now, where one of your owners is willing to give 5 years, $230 million, I'll take 5 years, $255 million. Thank you. I'll take 5 years, $260 million. Like, where are we going with this? This guy, in terms of his contract, has now changed the game. But it's interesting. What if the Browns? And let me throw this hypothetical at you. Let's say Deshaun Watson is suspended for an entire year. And it is awful. The investigation comes out. Nobody believes Deshaun Watson's innocent on this. He loses the civil case. That's not coming down until 2023. What if it's everything that goes against Deshaun Watson goes against Deshaun Watson? But let's say, Ron, in year five of this contract, he leads them to a Super Bowl championship. That's worth it, right? For the Cleveland franchise?
Yeah.
Like, we're talking a complete mess. All of 2022, he loses the civil case. Not one person, everyone now just accepts the fact that all of the 23 women were right on the money with their accusation. Everybody believes it. Let's just throw that hypothetical out there. But it's a civil case, not a criminal case. He can still make a living. He can still work. The NFL suspends him for a full year. He comes back. At some point in the 5 years, he leads the Browns to a Super Bowl. What do we say as a sports society? Would it have been worth it? Seriously? Now, for the Browns, you might say, you don't understand this city. Look how close we came with Bernie Kosar back in the day. We lost our franchise, and then we got a franchise again in 1999, and it's never been good. Never been good, except every now a pocket year or two that they've made the playoffs. And now you're telling me that I get a Super Bowl out of this deal by swimming in the murky waters of this civil case for a couple of seasons? That's kind of where, like he could do that. Like, that's not far outside the realm of possibility. Like, that hypothetical I just gave you is not crazy. He could. He's that good. But would it be worth it? Seriously? I don't know. Selling your soul like that? For what's on the other line? All right, number three, Tom Brady. And Peter King points out that he says that one NFL executive said Brady going to Munich would be like the Beatles coming to New York. That is a big comparison. The Beatles coming to New York was insane. Like, I wasn't alive then, but I've seen enough video. Are they gonna line the streets? Are girls gonna scream at the airport when Brady gets off the plane? I don't think so. But I do think it's going to be a big deal. Number four on his list of influential players were Patrick Mahomes, not surprisingly, because it feels like even in the AFC, as talent loaded as it is, it still feels like it's still going to run through Patrick Mahomes. It's still going to run through Kansas City. You're still going to have to go to Arrowhead to beat him. I don't know if that's the case in 2022, but it feels like that is still the bar. That's, whether it's Burrow, whether it's Allen, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Justin Herbert, whether it's Derek Carr, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa, whether it's Mac Jones, whether it's anybody, it still feels like it's Mahomes' conference, and you still have to run through them if you want to go to the Super Bowl. The Bengals had to do it.
Until you
knock
them down. The
Bills will probably have to do it. Until what?
Until you knock them down.
Until you knock them down, right. Until you knock them down. Number five, Rob Walton. He's the prospective Denver owner. And that's not bad. That five on the influential list is a little high because he doesn't own the team yet.
Real quick, who was number one again?
Roger Goodell.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
That's what I think, because you grazed over him to get to Deshaun Watson. That's why I forgot.
Well, because that's just number one.
Yeah. It,
like, no other reason. Like, he just got deals done. Rob Walton will likely play close to $5 billion for the Denver Broncos. Just a reminder that just 4 years ago, Dave Tepper bought the Carolina Panthers for 2.2. That's how fast these things are going up in value. It's projected that he's going to pay 4.5 for the Broncos, when Dave Tepper set an NFL record just 4 years ago, paying $2.2 billion for the franchise. That's a huge jump, man. Huge jump. Marie Donahue is number six on King's list. Amazon vice president of global sports video, because Amazon is right now into the streaming game. They're going to be broadcasting football games. Big deal. Yes. Cause it could change the way we consume the product. If this is successful for Amazon, they might go after even more down the road. And this could kind of be a game changer. It'd be really interesting to see where this goes. If enough people pick up these Thursday night games through Amazon, where could the NFL be going in terms of streaming services, and who gets in the game after that? Number seven is Josh Allen. All right. Cause he's a successful quarterback and the Bills are good, et cetera, et cetera. Sean McVay is number eight, Super Bowl winning coach, 36 years old. You want to talk about Brink's truck of money that the networks will pay this guy? we complain about these analysts making nine figures, right? This guy is, he, that's coming his way. By the way, congratulations. Sean McVay just married his model fiance.
Oh, no. Not another bachelor off the market.
Yeah, another bachelor off the market. His they tied the knot. Him and his longtime fiance, who is a 26-year-old model. Good for him. Congratulations. But again, a nine-figure deal is waiting for him in the broadcast booth should he ever get tired of coaching NFL teams. Number nine is Aaron Rodgers, of course, because you can't have a top 10 of influential people in the NFL without a guy that always wants to make news, always wants to make sure that you know he wants to make news, willing to just say things to make news. Aaron Rodgers is nine. But here's 10. Matthew Berry, the fantasy football god. And I think this is a good spot for him. 27 million downloads of his podcast. Would you say he's the kind of fantasy football king? Of all the people that do it for a living.
And I actually like this one because I think fantasy football had a lot to deal with the growth of the NFL.
I agree completely. I think, to me, this is one of those things that when I look back on my career, that I didn't jump on quick enough.
Yeah.
I didn't jump on it quick enough. I knew people that were getting heavily involved in it from the radio side very early. And I didn't jump into it as quickly as I should have. And it seems stupid, but you have to remember, when people were like Matthew Berry were really starting to be like, I know there's an audience for this. I know there's an audience for this. I know people will want to listen to PPR leagues and drop a player and this guy and his value. And there will be all radio shows and TV shows totally based on this. It really
dedicated
did seem to dedicated to it. No other analysis than that, by the way. Not telling you who's going to win between the Patriots and the Titans.
Nope.
None of that. Just telling you, hey, the Patriots are playing the Titans, and you might want to go with Rod Jones, this running back, because he's had success against defenses set up like the Titans.
Or convincing you when the Jaguars were terrible playing against a high-profile team, say like the Patriots. Back in the day, right?
Right.
Convincing you that Blake Bortles is the pickup a quarterback you need.
Right, right, right.
And you're
right.
Sitting there going, no, he's the worst quarterback ever.
Right, but there was some fantasy angle to that. So it had nothing to do with the matchup in terms of the who was going to win, had nothing to do with the matchup in terms of who was going to shine, because sometimes you just didn't have those. It was the insider, find this diamond in the rough in this particular game, fantasy-wise. Now, again, I've been in this business a long time. When I was first started in this, I'm not trying to give my age away, but there was no internet, and every fantasy football league had to do it by hand.
Yeah.
So that it was like you had one guy, and he was dedicated to grab the newspaper and go through every box score, and then on like Wednesday, if he had time, he would tell you who was winning.
Which is why I think if you're in a fantasy football league that you still can't add a player to like Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on your league, because – I mean, we had the computer technology to fix it right away.
Right, exactly.
But,
and now,
but it is, I think it's harkens back to that day of like, this is nostalgia. Your fantasy editor didn't get it back out to you until like Wednesday, maybe Thursday, because we didn't have Thursday night games then.
And good for Matthew Berry, who saw something, like just like Mel Kiper, saw something that nobody thought, oh, that's a waste of time. Why are you doing that? Who cares?
Saw something and nothing.
Boo, that's stupid. That's dumb. And they went, no, you'll be shocked. In 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, 20 years, this will be the biggest thing. And they were both right. Both 100% right. So I think Matthew Berry being on his list, I think that's a good place for him. It got to be in the top 10 because I think you're right. One of the reasons why this sport has become like nothing else we have on the sports landscape, I think has everything to do with the accessibility of fantasy football, the ease of it, the fun of it. And the pretty much the universal acceptance of it all.
Yeah,
and guys like him who got on the train very early are reaping the rewards.
And I like how you say the ease of it because, you know, you can do fantasy sports for every sport out there. But football caters it to it because it's one event.
Yeah,
one day a weekend.
Yep, I agree completely. I think, like, I tried to do fantasy baseball. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't keep up with it on a daily basis. I didn't have time, and it was very difficult. But football, sure. I got all week to think about it. You know, Thursday game maybe presses me a little bit, but that's really
about
it.
You normally don't play a Thursday player unless it's
right.
You know, one of the best players in the league.
Exactly. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue along with Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in hour number two, we're going to talk more Game 2 of the NBA Finals. We'll also get to Rafael Nadal winning the French Open for the 1,000th time.
Somewhere.
667 times he's won the French Open.
Plus or minus 20.
Yeah, going back to 1385 when they first had the tournament. Golly, that guy's won everything there. It's incredible. He wins again. He's got 22 Grand Slam titles. We'll talk about that coming up as well. But a lot on Golden State and their 19-point victory over the Boston Celtics last night in game number two, and we are evened up at a game apiece. Yes, do these finals lack a little bit of drama towards the end? Yeah, they do. Sure they do. These games are getting away from one team or another, right? We saw Boston pull away in the fourth. We saw Golden State pull away in the third. But if you look at these series as it really doesn't matter what the end result is, what the result is going into game three, 1-1, I don't care what the score is, then we've got a series. But if you're looking at it as, boy, oh boy, both of these teams have got some answering to do as to why these games are getting out of hand so easily in the second half, then we still have questions we got to answer. We'll talk about that coming up in hour number three on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on Wake Up Call.